What's shaking, Megamaniacs? It is Monday, July 21st, and we just finished watching tonight's tremendous edition of Monday Night Raw, and we're hitting you live on Mega Powers Radio for our Raw post-show. Very controversial opinions coming out the last couple of days of what's gone down in wrestling between last night's Battleground event and tonight's Raw show. We're excited to hear what you got to say and, of course, share our opinions with you as well. First off, let me introduce all the hosts that are here. I'll be leading things. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. With me tonight, Mr. Steven Huego, the host of Addicted to Anime here on Mega Powers Radio, as well as the leader of Unanimous Decision MMA, Mr. Steven Huego. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It was a fun Raw, so looking forward to talking about it.
The leader of the Drew Crew, Mr. Drew White.
If anyone wants to know if Plan C fails, Plan D is the Drew Crew.
Oh, so everyone really fucked then.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I have to worry too much about Plan C failing, but I guess we'll find out. But also with us, Mr. Tony Mango, the leader of Tony's Tykes, and that's all you're getting introduced as tonight. What's shaking, buddy?
That's all I need to be introduced by tonight.
Yes, crazy things going down in our cross-promotional fantasy league. If you want to check out the scores in that, go to keepingkayfabe.com for all the up-to-date things on that. But let's go into what we thought about tonight's Raw. This is the Raw post-show, after all. And let's start things with what I always like to ask you guys first. Coming off of this edition, lots of things went down, but what was the number one thing you took away from this show? Steven, why don't you start us off?
The number one thing I took away from this show was Triple H was on point tonight. He was funny in pretty much everything he did, including the opening segment where he was basically making fun of the fans and then his little hybrid line. He's just, dude, basically, he was just a lot of fun tonight, and that's what the show was, a lot of fun.
That hybrid line that they seem to make extra special care to make sure that that appeared in every single one of the 100 replays we got of that segment.
Wow, it was only 100? I could have sworn it was 200.
Mr. Drew White, what was the number one thing you took away from tonight's show?
That maybe there could be some dissension in the authority. I don't know how they're going to play out the whole how Triple H didn't go help his wife anyway. Oh my God, he's such an asshole. Yeah, so you know, who knows how they handle that going forward. I thought that was interesting.
Tony, what was the number one thing you walked away with it from this?
I got to agree, Triple H is fucking hilarious when they give him a chance to do whatever he wants to do. And you could tell that he was having fun cutting that promo at the beginning of it, too. So that's maybe the reason why this ended up being a very entertaining episode for Triple H.
Well, we want to hear what all of you out there got to say about the show as well. We already got the chat room popping. Lots of people in there. Jeremy Hensley, 5x Kombu, JT77, Uche Uprechere. That's a new person. I haven't seen you before. Welcome to the chat room, dude. Good to have you here. Thought I saw Awesome Piano Man popping in for a moment. Wherever you went, come back, dude. We like having you here. And, of course, our very own Mr. Kata and Steven Huego representing the team in the chat room. And also, we'll be having the phone lines opening up in just a moment. We already got a couple callers there in line. We ask you guys just to be patient for a few minutes while we keep the conversation rolling here on the station. We'll be opening up that in a moment. And if you're listening and want to get yourself in line to be heard through the phone lines, dial in area code 760-512-7247. Or you could also join us by hitting the Skype button at the top of the page. Oh, gosh, guys. So much went down tonight. Don't even know where to start. But why don't we talk about what's probably going to have the most impactful thing happening going forward, and that is the announcement of our main event match at SummerSlam. Brock Lesnar, the contender for John Cena's WWE title, which he successfully defended at last night's Battleground pay-per-view. What do you guys think about this announcement? Was it too predictable for you and that just popped the balloon for you, or are you still ramped up, especially based on the words from Paul Heyman tonight? Mr. Huego, what do you got to say?
I love Paul Heyman's work, and when he's with a main event talent who's already over, he really does add a lot to it. And it got me pumped for one match which I wasn't all looking forward to, just based on the fact that I've already seen it once and I was disappointed with the outcome. So as long as they can build well up to the feud with it and give us plenty of back and forth between Brock and Cena brawling and a lot of Paul Heyman's well, pretty much awesome promos. I mean, he was absolutely on point tonight. He had his old Pledge of Allegiance to Brock Lesnar, which I thought was awesome. So as long as we get more of that, I'll get into this feud a lot more than what I was planning on getting into it with.
Drew, are you excited for the return of Brock Lesnar and for this potential, well, it's not potential anymore, but this matchup at SummerSlam?
Yeah, the first time these two had a match, they had a really good match. You know, that was, well, yeah, it's more, that's been more than 2 years now, but still, I'm really excited for this. You know, I really liked, Paul, how he built up.
Drew's so young, he thought that was their first match.
Shut up and see return. I know. I've been around the block a few times, you know. I know all about the Cena Brock Lesnar. You fucking showed me the video the first time they faced, okay? So don't act like I'm the most noob. I was probably not alive at that time. But anyways, yeah. This was a segment, so that's, I'm going to end this now because you ruined anything I had going for me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Drew.
That's all good.
But Tony, pick it back up, man. What are you excited for out of this?
I'm only excited for what happens afterward. They spoiled it all by having all those promotional videos ahead of time that already said Brock Lesnar versus John Cena. So this entire night, you know that Lesnar is going to be the choice. So it's just a matter of getting there. And I think that they kind of dropped the ball with the announcement because I didn't really care about Paul Heyman's promo. Doesn't look like fucking Lesnar did either. He was just kind of standing there just like, I kind of want to go get a sandwich. Like, and it's completely, you know, zombied out look on his face. So that wasn't very exciting. He didn't do anything other than stand there. And I've already seen the two fight before in a match that ended in a way that I wasn't exactly 100% happy with. I did like that other match, so they have a chance of having a cool match at SummerSlam. But I don't want to see Brock Lesnar as a champion. And if they are going to give that to him, I'm interested to see what happens afterward. If they're not going to give it to him, I'm interested to see what happens afterward. But I kind of want to just skip past SummerSlam because it's already an afterthought, and I've thought past it.
Drew, would you have been more excited for this if it happened last night, or do you think it's better they reserved it for tonight's Raw?
I don't know. I feel like the people's attitude towards Battlegrounds would have been better if it happened last night, because there was a lot of people shitting on it. I personally really don't care. I kind of liked how they waited another day and got back to Miami, which is where he returned to after WrestleMania 28. Yeah, 28. So, you know, it's kind of like a nostalgia feel to the whole thing. I do like that shirt, though. It is a nice shirt. I might have to pick me up one now.
It's a nice boulder. I'm going to pull some out of the chat room here from Five Times Combo saying, I was thinking to myself, what if Cult of Personality hit when Heyman started introducing Plan C,
you know,
which, of course, made it mean CM Punk.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that as well. No, I wasn't like, oh, my God, what if it's CM Punk? I was like, it's just like, yeah, you know, what if Plan C was all along CM Punk? The biggest work in the history of wrestling. Ah. You know, way
right after they move him to the alumni page, too. Would have been a complete swerve.
Oh, God, no one would have seen it coming. Then Wago would get credit from everyone. Like, Wago, you just know everything.
If he returns Wago 5 years,
gave up on that a long time ago.
If he returns 5 years later, I'm claiming that I knew.
Steel City Radio, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but essentially he was bringing up, wouldn't it have been cool if during Brock Lesnar's promo, all of a sudden The Undertaker came out seeking his revenge. Tony, would that have piqued your interest at all?
Definitely, because The Undertaker is my second favorite of all time. So all this rumor about his return never going to happen again, and we're not going to get another match with The Undertaker and all that, he returns to face anybody and I'll be excited, because that would mean the whole thing's bullshit, even if it was, you know, Heath Slater or something like that. So having him pop out and, you know, fuck up Brock Lesnar or something, then I would have been really into it. But just another Cena thing that we already saw coming, pass.
All right, folks, we're going to be opening up the phone lines in about 5 more minutes. Get yourself in line. We already got 2 callers waiting patiently. We appreciate that. Area code 760-512-7247 is the number to dial to get yourself in line to be heard here on the NPR Raw post show. Guys, next thing I wanted to talk to you about was one of our continuing storylines throughout the night, Stephanie McMahon and her beef with the Bella twins, specifically Brie. Stephanie continues to make Nikki Bella's life a living hell by putting her in handicap matches. She had her in a 4-on-1 tonight with a bunch of divas that didn't matter, but sitting ringside was Brie Bella, who had paid for her seat with a ticket, so she had every right to be there. However, Stephanie, of course, had to get into her face, created a confrontation between the two, eventually ending with Brie calling her a bitch, causing Stephanie to go over the top and slap Brie Bella right across the face. And man, she did not hold back at all. That was a hard slap. Great segment between those two there, but it only got better later on in the night when Stephanie McMahon finished introducing our musical guest. We'll get a little bit more to that later. She's approached by two police officers and a detective. I'm not sure exactly who was supposed to be what, but essentially Stephanie McMahon got arrested, pulled out of the building in handcuffs, and that's where we're leaving off on this story. The heat has certainly been turned way up in this McMahon-Bella story, where I was completely cold to it and did not care about it whatsoever the last month it's all been going on. And finally, in one night, they turned me around to at least being mildly interested. Still don't know if it's going to be worth seeing Stephanie McMahon step in a ring again, but I'm willing to give it a shot. We'll go around and give your guys' opinions on this one, though. Tony, how'd you dig this whole thing playing out?
You know, I think one of the gross misunderstandings about this is that they weren't there to just arrest Stephanie. They were there originally because they needed to figure out where Big Show had hidden his gun. And, all right, well, we're going to move past that joke. But the whole thing with the Divas segment and the Stephanie McMahon arrest and everything, it took an odd turn because at the beginning of this, when it was just the Nikki Bella segment, I didn't give a shit. You know, you put anybody in a handicap match. We've talked about this before. I know Wego is going to echo the same opinion as mine. You put anybody in a handicap match, they should have no chance of winning. And the upside to that is it's realistic if they don't win. The downside is you just see a 5 minute or 5 second or whatever squash. And it's good that Nikki Bella didn't win the match. They did that mistake earlier with Roman Reigns, but, having her lose this thing, you know, I don't really care about Nikki Bella necessarily. So if they would have just had that section of this, I wouldn't have liked it. But having the arrest of Stephanie McMahon to actually follow through with the idea that Bree's supposed to be not an actual member of the roster, so she does have repercussions for hitting her, that's realistic enough, I should say. Not realistic 100%. But that is a positive because WWE does this kind of random shit all the time where somebody can be fired and then they're in the crowd and then they, you know, hop over the barricade and attack somebody. They should get fucking arrested. So the fact that they did something kind of the opposite for this is something I got to applaud. And it was fun to watch. I mean, they had a lot of fun with Triple H's part of this, which had one of the best lines of the night, not the hybrid one, which I kind of disliked after a while, but there's another great part where he's just looking at the guys and he goes, these are called career decisions. And he's just like, career decisions, guys, career decisions. It's such a boss thing to say.
Like, it was so condescending. It was fantastic.
It's like that overzealous manager of a store who says to people like, we got to push more product here. These are career decisions, guys. You know, somebody could step up and really be middle management. Like, it was such a douchey thing to say. I fucking loved it. So that was the highlight of the whole thing for me. And that saved this from being a bad segment if it would have just been the first half.
Quick shout out in the chat room. Uchi Ubi Chetty. You have to correct me if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. But he says, I'm new here and I'm loving it already. Glad you're having a great time. Good to have you along. Having a fantastic chat room tonight. Thanks to everyone who showed up and keeping things popping in there. Moving right along with this topic, though, Drew, how did you feel about the events between Brie Bella and Stephanie tonight?
I liked it. You know, I showed up a little late to the show, so when you first mentioned that this is one of the good parts of the night, I was kind of like, bullshit, you're just going to try to make me watch something that I don't want to watch. But then I watched it, and I'm really surprised that this turned out as well. Not so much on the Brie part, but Stephanie, just, you know, I think she, out of everyone, I think she played whatever the hell her role was supposed to be. I think she did the best, you know. I was just like, oh, damn, girl. You don't want to go to
that near
jail.
Crying she was doing that while she was crying. Pulling out. Yeah. I felt for her.
You know, not that many people will give Stephanie credit for her acting, but I've always thought that her acting was on point for what her role is supposed to be. And I'm just saying, if she was an actress, you know, I think she could make it. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. But anyways, I really, really enjoyed what all they did tonight. Triple H, you know, apparently is now the funniest guy in wrestling. Who would have thought? But yeah, it was a really good, really good segment that kind of helped keep the show together. I don't know how the show would have ended up going if it didn't happen. But also the crowd reception to everything that happened during it was really well. I'm really surprised there was so much of a reaction to something this small and when it comes to women.
Another thing I'm going to pull out of the chat room here from JT77. He said another highlight from Triple H tonight was the moment when he started debating and decided that he was not going to leave to be by his wife's side so that he could announce the person who would be facing John Cena for the title. That was a really great moment as well.
I got to do one more.
Triple H definitely on his game.
I got one more thing I want to say. This was a show. Just want to shout out to Austin Piano Man.
Wago, round us out this topic.
I think Stephanie McMahon is going to fill Vince's role pretty goddamn well as the McMahon that's fantastic when she's getting shit thrown at her and fantastic when she's dishing it out. She's just such a goddamn good villain, and I really enjoyed all this tonight. When she's leaving and saying, I'm scared, Hunter, fantastic acting. And it was just a lot of fun. And it's a shame that as good as this segment is, I still don't give a fuck about this feud. Because it's a balance.
Is Stephanie McMahon going to have any chance of being in that ring? I mean, it looks like she's been working out quite a bit, eh, Tony?
You looking at her chest?
Yeah, we don't need to go there.
No, we need to do that when we do the next Hottest Divas Tournament segment, because that's where we're complete assholes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh gosh, well, I think with that we should start opening up the phone lines here. If you want to get yourself in line to give your opinion about tonight's Raw, dial area code 760-512-7247, or if you'd rather join us via Skype, press the Skype icon at the top of the broadcast page. And of course, if you're shy, please join us in the chat room towards the bottom. Already lots of cool people in there. Five times combo, Awesome Piano Man, JT77, Uche Ubachetti, people keep popping in and out, and all you guests, I see a number of guests there. Why don't you register, give yourself a name so we know what to call you. Let's get our first caller in here. We're going to take one from the 218, actually. Let's shake things up here. 218, you are live on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Emma, I am calling from Minnesota.
Emma from Minnesota. What's shaking, Emma? What'd you think about tonight's Raw?
You know, honestly, I thought it was quite interesting tonight. It definitely shook me I couldn't believe it. It was everything. It was amazing to see the acting, and I was shocked when I saw Brock Lesnar, if anything, Brock Lesnar come out, because I didn't think they'd ever bring him back.
Really? You think after beating The Undertaker was such an evil thing for him to do that he wouldn't be welcome back?
Well, exactly. I mean, everyone was in complete shock when he beat him. I mean, I had to rewind on it a few times. I couldn't believe when it happened, and I was completely shocked. And then, you know, you've got Paul Heyman in the ring, you know, doing he drives me insane doing his thing. I'm just going, I'm going to shut this off.
Well, are you excited for the match? Do you want to see John Cena face Brock Lesnar for the title?
I do, because I know Cena can probably take this one on, as he's done many times, show him what he can do throughout all the history of what he's done.
So you're a big C Nation supporter then?
Yes.
And we're not judging. We're not judging. Just asking, just so we know. We welcome all kinds here. What else did you like from tonight's show? Were you into the Stephanie McMahon segment? Was there something else that stuck out to you?
Well, that one definitely did. I mean, I was half honest surprised that Brie didn't jump over the barricade when she hit her. You know, I was completely shocked. And I never thought, you know, watching what's going on with the Bellas is just that she's targeting one, and when she had a part in playing it too, because it wasn't just, you know, one, it was both of them.
What about let's see, what else was big tonight? The turn from Paige against AJ. You're talking about surprises. Did that take you by surprise?
That one definitely did, but it doesn't really shock me, considering we both know how crazy AJ can kind of be, but, you know, that's just how she is. And then I thought it was shocking either way.
So out of all this uprising talent, we were kind of seeing almost a passing of the guard at this generation right now. Who are some of your favorite rising stars? And we got people like Roman Reigns making a big name for himself. Bo Dallas is, of course, on a big winning streak. You got some people a little bit lower, like Adam Rose. Who are some people that are sticking out to you right now?
Well, I definitely think that, you know, it's got to be Bo Dallas, because he is, you know, he comes to show when he does. He's got a smile on his face. He is so positive, and it's just amazing that he can be that positive and win a match at the same time.
That's a good point. All right, Emma, we're going to get to our other caller, but the last thing we always like to ask everyone on here is, what was your high point for tonight's show, meaning your favorite part, and your low point for tonight's show, meaning what part made you the most infuriated? Looks like Emma left. Oh, sorry, Emma. It was a great call. Feel free to call again anytime. We liked having you on. Definitely have one more question for you, but have a good night, and hopefully we'll talk to you again in another week. Let's go on to our next caller then, from the 412, our good friend JD. What's shaking, JD?
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Oh, great, man. How you doing? What'd you think of Battleground? What'd you think about tonight's Raw?
Battleground, I mean, it was only a one-match show, which was the Great Uso match versus the Harper and Rowan and Duck Dynasty boys, however, and it was a really good match. Other than that, it was a lame piece of shit show. As far as tonight's show goes in Miami, it was a pretty good show. I'm glad Stephanie the Whore got what was coming to her. Hope she rots in jail tonight, and hope she doesn't drop the soap while she's in jail either. I mean, Brie deserved, gave her, I mean, basically, Brie gave her what she deserved. I mean, she continues to screw Nikki over how many times, how to have her little bitch goon, Divas, come out. Oh, I can't get in the ring because I'm afraid to take it on the chin from a Bella. I'm afraid I have to have my husband's buddies kiss his ass and my ass all the time. Well, guess what, Stephanie? You're going to be in a match in SummerSlam, honey, and you better be ready because Nikki's going to bring out the claws and scratch you to pieces, honey, because you're going to be going down, down, down. I mean, as far as the whole Brock Lesnar thing with John Cena goes, wow, no surprise there. Mr. Penis Steroid Boy is back himself, however, once again kissing Triple H's ass and demanding, oh, I deserve a title match because I beat The Undertaker. Look at me. I'm so popular. Yeah, let's bring Brock Lesnar back when the chips are down. Great move, WWE. I mean, there was only one really good match tonight. Actually, one and a half good matches tonight. I mean, the Miz Ziggler match was pretty good. However, I did like that. I mean, it went 14 minutes long. It was one of the highlights of the night. The shit match of the night, however, if you want to call it the shit match of the night, was either Bo Dallas taking on LeBron James himself, Mr. Sandow, or the Hoop Stupid Rusev Kali match. And speaking of Rusev Power, I heard that WWE got some flack on that last night. I don't know if you guys heard about that with Lana's promo. Did you guys hear anything about that at all?
Absolutely. There was actually some stories written on some bigger websites, some bigger news outlets about how not just anybody, but social media specifically was who they were following, pulling out certain tweets, people thinking that WWE went too far. I don't get it. I mean, they barely alluded to it. They said current events. They didn't even mention the flight. They didn't mention what actually happened. And as far as I'm concerned, this is heels being heels. I think it's about time they stopped walking on eggshells and they did more like that. Any of you guys got some opinions you want to throw out about that one, though?
I disagree with you on that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please. I mean, you might be right. Yeah, they might be walking on eggshells, but at the same time, sometimes we don't need to hear the same old bullshit from freaking Lana. Vladimir Putin. Take your Boris-loving ass back to Moscow, you commie bastard. Okay? Go back to Moscow.
Oh, damn, girl. But seriously, when it comes to, like, walking on the eggshells thing, yeah, there's, like, a thin line that they got to make sure they can't really cross. But if they barely allude to it, like, I didn't think that what they did last night was that bad. And I didn't watch the Kali segment. I didn't watch the Kali segment because as soon as I saw Kali, I'm like, skip this. Fuck that. Anyway, but seriously, you know, the situation that's going on over there is not really at a point right now where we need to, like, not really, like, just forget about it and just pretend it's not happening when it comes to relating it to WWE. I mean, come on. We had an Iraqi guy back in the 80s during a very pivotal point in, like, the Bush administration. So if we could do that then, I don't think it's that big of a deal now.
Yeah. Well, like I said,
the thing is, in this day and age, everyone's fucking got a thin skin, and it's ridiculous. What they did last night was perfectly acceptable. They didn't even actually name the incident. All they said was, pretty much, it's not Russia's fault, but even though everyone's accusing us, pretty much was what all they said.
I think it was like a...
Yeah, but did they really want to go out of bounds with that remark? I think they were testing the waters a little bit too much there.
This whole gimmick is based on cheap heat, and that was perfect. They made it relevant, and I applaud them. And honestly, I think they should have pushed the envelope further.
Mm.
And this isn't like the event I think a lot of people are comparing it to was with Muhammad Hassan, where they had the guys in ski masks attack The Undertaker and kidnap him, which happened on the exact same day as the bombings on the subways in London.
That's
that
right.
I can understand some people getting upset about, and I still think it was a little extreme that they had to completely kill the character and pull the guy from TV, but pressure from sponsors, what happens? If they're getting pressure from sponsors over this, I think that is definitely something that's absolutely ridiculous. And if you're over the gimmick, I get that. You know, it's just a typical gimmick, and it either is going to resonate with you or not. But
yeah,
this could happen to anybody making a comment like that. And if we are just going to get so upset over things like that, how could we possibly expect people to get people to boo them if they can't say anything that might upset someone a little bit?
True. Well, I do think how they are. I mean, I'm just saying right now. I mean, besides that, I think there are some gimmicks right now that are on their way out in the WWE. The whole Xavier Woods scene tonight, I mean, what the hell is that all about? Are they doing trying to do a new Nation of Domination? That was dumb. Then you have the freaking Goldust Stardust thing. I mean, once again, they're not in the match, and they have the stupid backstage vignettes, and they haven't been on a match in, like, weeks. I mean, right now, I think WWE has got to trim some fat off their roster right now. I mean, Bandango's jobbing match, I'm surprised Zack Ryder's even still in the goddamn company, for that matter. They didn't even acknowledge RVD's injury last night, let alone tonight again. I mean, the whole Khali thing, I mean, he's become just a comedy act more and more. Emma, I mean, this was the first time since the shoplifting incident they had her back on television. Natty, I mean, they thought after the whole Charlotte thing with her in NXT they would do something right with her. What have they done with her? They team her up with Emma tonight, and she ends up losing to AJ and Paige the Psycho. I mean, it's just, I think they've got to trim some big-time fat off that roster. I mean, they already did already at one point, but I think they still need to trim off a little bit more fat, because right now some of these guys are just being put in lame gimmicks. I mean, like the Fandangos, the Damian Sandows, all these things are just not working.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. There's some people who are catching on, but eventually they do have to understand when to call it quits. And they have done that sometimes. We've seen them with, like, Brodus Clay and Ryback. They'll push and push, but eventually they do know when to give up. This is another one of those pivotal times. Some people are catching on. You got your Dean Ambroses. You got your other members of the Shield there. You got Bo Dallas, even. He's catching on with a lot of people. But then you got Adam Rose. Just cut it already. There's no reason to keep having him come out there and promote Twisted Tea or whatever the flavor of the week is. No reason to have a poor Damian Sandow coming. Okay, actually, I did kind of like him coming out as LeBron James. That was funny. I'm not going to lie.
I thought it was funny.
But the guy deserves better. He deserves better, and so do a lot of people. And if they're not going to give him better, let them.
Like I said, Goldust and Stardust are another gimmick, too. You're right. R-Truth, Xavier Woods, those goes on. Well, let's get to the high point, low point real quick before I call it a night. Mm-hmm. High point of the night, however, I would have to say the Roman Reigns match was a good match, but I think it was Ziggler and Miz that stole the show tonight. The low point for me, I mean, you just mentioned Bo Dallas. I think it was the whole Bo Dallas freaking Khali. It was a train wreck of a match, and like I said, I hope Steph stays in jail. And of course, you know, I'm going to hear Triple H start saying to Michael Cole this week, however, what, my wife deserved that because she attacked Brie Bella? Enough is enough. I mean, like I've said for weeks online, quit having guys like Randy Orton and freaking Brock Lesnar and Kane kiss your ass, Hunter. We're tired of the same old bullshit week in and week out. It's time to get rid of the authority. I've said this for weeks on end. I'm hoping after SummerSlam this year they finally drop this thing, but of course they've gone on with this for close to a year now. I think it's time to have Vince back on television or somebody run the goddamn show that can do something. We're tired of hearing the same old bullshit come from Stephanie and Triple H's mouth week in and week out.
Very passionate call as always, JD. We'll talk to you next week, eh?
All right, guys. See you then.
Have a good night, man.
You too.
Two good callers in a row. Fantastic to hear from you guys. And of course, we always want to hear from the rest of you out there. Dial in area code 760-512-7247. Don't be shy. But if you don't feel like having your voice heard, we always got the chat room rolling nicely. Awesome Piano Man, Five Times Combo, JT77. And of course, a few of our own team members in there. Hey, where'd that Spanish bloke go? He was in there a minute ago. Come back, dude. Where the heck are you? And of course, we have some guests in there too. Don't be afraid of us. Register your name so we can know who you are and how to refer to you and join the conversation in the chat room.
Yeah.
Turning things back to you guys.
He probably the got fuck you scared left of now. You. He probably got scared of JT on not understanding JT.
Actually, he did say he was going around the time that JT was on.
Fantastic, then. All right, guys. Well, let's take things from the top of the show and just run it down. We had a matchup between Roman Reigns and Kane and Randy Orton handicap after being set up through the opening segment, typical opening segment where a bunch of guys say, I want to be world champion contender. No, I want to be the world champion contender. And the whoever is the authority figure says, all right, let's have a match, playa. Holla, holla, holla. And that was the match. Roman Reigns getting the victory after Kane gets frustrated with taking orders from Randy Orton, causing distraction, allowing Roman Reigns to get the spear and the pin. And it looks like that's going to be a potential matchup that we're going to have at SummerSlam, especially after later on in the night when Randy Orton came out initially announced as Triple H's pick to be the opponent for John Cena at SummerSlam. However, he was taken away by Roman Reigns. I don't know, guys. I'm really just not feeling this matchup. I think Tony knocked it out of the park with the answer to it. We've seen enough of these guys through the Shield versus Evolution matchups. And of course, these guys had to have faced each other a dozen times on Raw throughout that time. I'm just not interested. Roman Reigns could find a dozen better opponents for him, and Randy Orton, same thing too. This is just not the money match that I think SummerSlam and the fans deserve. But get your guys' thoughts on that, Tony.
So, like I said, from the thing that I had said before, I still feel exactly the same way. I am not interested whatsoever. And you know what? At this point, I really wouldn't even necessarily be interested in Triple H versus Roman Reigns, because they put that a little bit on the back burner for the past few weeks. So they would need to ramp that up a little bit more if I were to give a shit about it. But the Roman Reigns situation is really weird, because he needs somebody who is a big-time player to face, but he needs to be able to beat them. And it can't be for the championship unless they're willing to give him the championship. And it can't be for nothing if they aren't going to capitalize and make another feud happen after that, or another stipulation or something. Because if you just have the same people face each other a bunch of different times, well, it grows stagnant. And then no matter who's winning, nobody gives a shit. So that's kind of what's happening here with Randy Orton. Like I said, we've seen him against Evolution. We've seen him against Randy Orton in qualifying match things and tag matches and everything. So what's the incentive for me to buy SummerSlam if I'm going to see a rematch with Orton? I'm going to see a rematch with Wyatt. I'm going to see a rematch with Cena. I'm going to see a rematch with pretty much everybody on the card. Well, is it supposed to be because Orton is a top guy and Reigns is the top guy, so just deal with it? How about just skip it and wait until Night of Champions, because that's the one that seems to matter.
Skip it. Skip it. Drew, any extra thoughts to throw into that?
Kane is worthless now, right?
he's just essentially a big, meaty body.
I can't stand Kane anymore. It's just that they build him as is like, oh my god, the demon! Then he can't fucking win. Shit, I'm so confused. I don't know why I should care if Kane is in anything nowadays. If I see Kane, usually that just means he's going to do a choke slam or someone's going to punch him and he's going to get knocked out. I just don't like Kane anymore. He used to be my favorite wrestler when I was like in fourth grade. You know, he was the shit. But now it's just that new fucking mask. I hate that new mask. He should like go back to the one he had when he first debuted. That shit is scary. That new mask he has on, I could fucking buy at Walmart and be like, oh, I'm a demon. Ooh, it's a spooky. Okay, but seriously, he sucks.
All right. Wago, you got as passionate of an opinion about this?
Well, first off, I'm going to disagree with one thing that Tony said, that Roman Reigns should have lost this match, being it as a handicap. I was perfectly fine with it because it was Randy Orton and Kane quarreling that led to the victory for Roman.
That's true.
So that, in that case, was perfectly fine with. As far as this entire feud goes, I am not feeling the Randy Orton-Roman Reigns match, and I don't think it's going to be that good of a match either. I've seen most of their work. I've seen a lot of them going backwards and forwards during the Evolution vs. Shield feud. That was a lot of fun because there were so many mixed elements. But even then, they had a couple of bad matches, so overall, I'm just not that excited for it. And to point out one thing that Drew said, Kane's appearance is just kind of so meh right now. It's like he doesn't bother with his fucking hairpiece, and he doesn't bother to put any makeup on around his eyes anymore. It just looks like he stopped giving a fuck. It's like, yeah, I'm the demon.
I've had to be corporate Kane and do
budget cutback. Demon Kane.
Sad Demon Kane. That's the new gimmick.
So I have a question I'll ask you guys. Say that all the speculation we were making about the Brock Lesnar John Cena match not being for the title came true, and last night either Randy Orton or Roman Reigns came out of that Battleground Fatal 4-Way on top with the title. Whoa. Would that have made this match any more interesting, or would that have been a complete waste?
So wait, so you don't think Kane, the Demon Kane, could have won the title? You didn't throw his name in there.
Yeah, way to make Demon Kane even sadder.
Yeah.
You're fucking
dick. But in all seriousness, I would be interested to see a Roman Reigns, Brock Borg-Lesnar's match down the line. But fuck, I don't know. That's a tough one. Ooh, someone take it away, because I don't know what to say. Ooh.
Yeah, someone want to give me a real answer to that question?
Okay, John Cena versus Brock Lesnar was going to be a non-title match. It would not make a difference, and I think the result's going to be the same no matter what. Brock Lesnar wins.
As far as the Orton and Reigns thing goes, in my opinion, that would make a difference, because the only thing I'm interested in with the Brock Lesnar-Cena one is who feuds afterward. This would be, well, are they going to switch the title if Orton had won it and give it to Roman Reigns and just have a transitional thing with Orton? Or are they going to keep it on Reigns and have him face, you know, Orton for the next 5 weeks or whatever the case may be? And are they going to debut the new championship with Roman Reigns? Because that's something that's very special. And they typically only do that with somebody who they really, really give a shit about. I mean, The Rock was the one who brought this new title on. It was the one that John Cena had that spinning belt. We've gotten Triple H bringing back the gold belt. You know, a lot of these people, Austin had the switch over from the winged belt and everything. So if Roman Reigns would have been given one of those spots, then that would have been a huge boost to his career. So I would have given a shit then. Now it's just going to be a mid-card match. And the placement on the card is going to end up being one of the reasons why it sucks, too.
All right, well, let's move into our next segment, the Bo Dallas segment of the night. He's been usually at the end of the show the past couple of weeks. This one, he got bumped up to the first hour. This time, he faced Damian Sandow dressed as LeBron James. Yeah, they were in Miami, so they had to get that cheap heat with LeBron James leaving town. And I think Damian Sandow actually did a pretty good job of doing that based on what he had to work with. I mean, he really riled that crowd up, and he even included the whole thing about Bo Dallas having to leave with LeBron James, saying that he should do like LeBron did and leave. It's not going to work everywhere, but it worked for the Miami crowd, and what it especially did is it got people cheering for Bo Dallas, which only furthers the question of what the hell is Bo Dallas. My impression is that he's just Bo Dallas. You react to him how you want to react to him. You could put him in any situation you want to put him in. I think you shouldn't try to rack your head around it too much. But let me go around and get your guys' opinions about that and about this matchup and the treatment of Damian Sandow for this segment. Tony?
Man, what the hell is Bo Dallas? Is he like some kind of an alien? Or
I don't know. Without somebody... face, he could be.
that's a different question, though. I hope he doesn't turn babyface. Not yet. They still need a little bit of time for that to ferment and for people to start getting behind it from being a ridiculous thing, kind of the same way that Bad News Barrett still hasn't turned babyface yet, because if he would have turned Bad News Barrett face right after he started to catch on, anytime that you typically do that, then the people get tired of it. And you'll end up with another Adam Rose, which is just another odd character that you don't quite support, but you can't boo because he's the good guy, but you can't cheer because he's kind of annoying. I think that for this instance, it's good to just throw that out there and, you know, figure out what happens and test the waters a little bit. But next week, or even on SmackDown, which I'm sure everybody will be watching because
that's
great, he needs to go back to facing somebody who's just a random baby face, whether that be, fuck, they don't have any baby faces now, do they?
They
just got
face?
Rid of three of them tonight.
What's a baby face?
I don't know. I was going to say Justin Gabriel, and then I was going to say Tyson Kidd, and then I was going to say Kofi, and then Big E, and then, damn, whoever the hell is left, Slater. There you go. Because he seems to be like a babyface.
Because he is apparently a babyface now.
Yeah. Or have him face Zack Ryder or something like that. I don't know. But I don't think it's time for him to turn babyface yet. I think he needs to be heel for at least a little bit longer.
Drew, is our resident sports guy, what did you think about Damian Sandow's performance as LeBron James?
I liked it. I thought it was funny. I remember when they did the Lance Stevenson thing back when they were in Indianapolis. I thought that was amazing, but everyone else apparently fucking hated it. But it was for what it was.
Well, let me tell you, as a non-basketball watcher, I have absolutely no idea who Lance Stevenson is. I know who LeBron James is. Well, and I think it's almost impossible for anybody to not know what went down with LeBron James the last couple weeks.
Yeah, see, I don't know. Lance Stevenson, he's just he's a nut job. It's the easiest way to put it. He blew in LeBron James' ear, and that was a big deal. That's right. He was like into the ear of LeBron James, of Damian Sandow. Why? Who knows? But anyways, when it comes to this segment, Damian Sandow, I thought it was funny. I really would rather see him do something else. But, fuck it. He doesn't really have much of a career left. And when it comes to Bo Dallas is Bo Dallas. It doesn't matter what you do. You just got to believe, I suppose. So there you go. It was a match.
Wago, do you agree that there's not much left for Damian Sandow? Is this the end of the road for him, and once this runs its course, is that it? Or can Damian Sandow rebound and still make a name for himself?
Do what Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel are doing and go down to NXT and try and find yourself again, because those two have been hella exciting for me. I've really enjoyed NXT the last few weeks, so I say go down there and just try and find something different for yourself. It's not going to hurt, and he's going to be treated like a main event superstar down there. So I say that's probably the best avenue for him. As far as this whole...
I cannot agree with you more, man. Tyson Kidd has been doing big, awesome things down in NXT for those who have not been watching. I have to imagine that this is setting up for him to bring this up to the main roster at some point. And if they bring him up as a decent mid-card heel, I think Tyson Kidd may finally be getting that consistent TV time that he's somehow been avoiding his entire career so far. But continue your point about Bo Dallas.
And the good thing about NXT as a tool in general, maybe you don't get an opportunity normally. It's a good platform to show the higher ups that, hey, I can do this, so give me a chance on the big TV. But as far as Bo Dallas goes, I'm fine wherever they want to slot him in. And I like having a tweener. It's different. He's just comedy relief, and he's fantastic at it. He made Carly exciting, so I give him all the props in the world.
Oh, goodness. We had Bray Wyatt coming out for what was supposed to be a guest spot on the highlight reel. However, we never get to see Jericho because Bray Wyatt shows video earlier of him attacking Jericho in Jericho's locker room, hitting him with his sister Abigail into the wall, which leaves Chris Jericho down in the back. Eventually, some trainers come by and they're checking on him, and he's bleeding from the ear. Oh my God, he's cut on the ear. Oh, God. It's terrible. Oh,
damn it.
Back down. That man has a family.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt does a typical Bray Wyatt promo. Something that ever since I've noticed it, I can't stop noticing it now, and it's that Bray Wyatt inhales so violently.
Yes, that's what, like, only as he's talking, that I have in this whole segment. I'm so glad you brought that up.
I saw this hilarious video. I think one of the writers for Spark Out Moment, Edward Pullendini, originally brought it up, where someone had edited just the inhales and exhales of wrestler promos, and it had like Iron Sheik and Macho Man Randy Savage, and it was hilarious. They do that for Bray Wyatt now, I would crack the fuck up just with how violently he's inhaling during his promos. It's annoying as fuck, and I can't get into anything else he's saying when I notice it. So I'm sorry if I've ruined them for anyone else going forward, because now as he does them, nothing else sticks out to me. But I'll go around and catch you guys. Tony, I guess you're following up the same notes as I am, but is there anything else you want to say about it?
Dude, dead seriously, on my notes right now, it says Bray Wyatt breathing, man. And I had like this horrible like back and forth of should I mention this or not, because I figured it would be a glass shattering moment too. That it's like as soon as you hear it, you can't unhear it. Because I did the same thing tonight. It was just like everything that he said was if he had an asthma attack.
Whoa, 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 you okay?
And I'm like, holy shit, dude. Like, he really is out of breath, isn't he? It's really bad. It's really fucking bad. And God, I'm not going to be able to unhear that now, too. And that took me out of this whole segment. I thought it was stupid enough that we were going to do the whole highlight reel thing. And to be perfectly honest, I'm not the biggest fan of the highlight reel in general. So that was like, meh, I'm already done with this feud. I don't really like the highlight reel. Oh, he got attacked backstage and Bray Wyatt threw his own back into the locker room, which was apparently Chris Jericho's locker room, whole locker room for himself. And, you know, bleeding out of the ear or whatever like that, that sucks if he wants to put a hat on later. Like, that's, you know. But I have no interest in this feud whatsoever anymore. And I was saying it for the past couple of weeks. If they were going to do this at Battleground, they really need to figure out a way to give me a reason to give a shit about it at SummerSlam other than just continuing the feud. And so far they haven't. If this was supposed to be it, then fuck, I'm more interested in seeing Bray Wyatt take a nebulizer treatment than I am seeing him face Jericho again.
Wake, are you any more positive about this?
I actually enjoyed Bray Wyatt's promo tonight. I thought he was a lot more on point than he has been. It was more along the lines of, I'm gonna win this war, as opposed to pointless rambling that I don't care about. So hats off to him to finally get into the point. As far as the Jericho attack, I think what happened was Vince heard how much the set was going to cost, and he was like, with these budget cuts, no chance.
But he can afford to give Chris Jericho his own locker room.
Yeah,
maybe that's why he wanted to take it. Maybe he had to attack him so they could clear the locker room for someone else. I guess Ryback needed his own locker room too.
He's bullying everyone, so it was like, hang on, I'll get him out of there. But as far as the highlight reel goes, I'm not a big fan of it either. I've enjoyed one, and it's when Jericho put Shawn's face through the Jerichron.
Mm-hmm. I like how Shawn Michaels' weird eye got so bad that they had to incorporate it into a storyline.
I never did anything about his receding hairline, though.
He's still a sexy boy, I guess. Drew, you got anything you want to add about this to round us out?
Did you remember last year when Ryback beat Jericho? Because that happened. That was a match. But seriously, I thought this was like the biggest fuck you ever. Because I'm like, oh, but if you had the app during the commercial, we're just saying you could have seen him beat down during an interview, even though Jericho was about to get an interview. So Jericho was getting an interview before he gave an interview. That's fucking just
a pre-interview interview.
Yeah, there we go.
So, Chris Jericho, how do you feel about this interview?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm getting used to having a mic in front of my face now that you have it in front of me at this moment. So I'm not as scared when I go out later. And my ear.
God.
If you would have had the app, you would have realized he didn't actually get attacked. He actually just had a Q-tip that he went too far in.
So wait, I'm confused. I'm supposed to have the app or am I supposed to have the network? I think that's a real question.
You're meant to have the app work.
God damn it. I don't like the app, though.
I'm pretty sure WWE's answer to that is yes.
Yes.
Go to tout.
So five times combo is asking, the only thing I'm concerned with in this feud is why do the Usos hate Jericho? Assuming he's asking because the Usos didn't come to save Jericho.
Yeah.
I think it's a Samoan thing because let's not forget last week where John Cena and Roman Reigns just stood in the ring while Dean Ambrose got attacked for like a full 5 minutes.
I remember that. That was funny. That was the thing.
Maybe they didn't do their Suva Tao yet, so they were really just amping up to help Jericho, and by the time they got done, it was already over.
It was down the hallway doing it, and the beatdown was done before they finished.
They reached a point where they're like, when we say you ooze, you say oh, ooze. And they're backstage, so nobody did it. They're like, fuck, well, we can't continue if nobody says oh. Shit. You're on your own, Jericho.
Jericho! I just wanted to throw this one out there. I don't know if anyone else caught the post-wrap-up, whatever the hell they call it, that they had after Battleground last night, but I left the network on for a few extra minutes to watch it, and they had a backstage interview with the Usos by Renee Young, and they did the thing where we go, when we say Us, you say oh, and the only person there was Renee Young, so it was only Renee saying oh, and when they come back, JBL says, well, that was the second best O face I've ever seen Renee make. And it, like, went by so fast. Like, Michael Cole just picked up going back into, like, whatever the hell he was shilling. And, like, no reaction. But I was like, wait. Did he just say what I think he said?
JBL is amazing.
Cole's just like, wait, what?
Now, I have a weird feeling that if we watch the Cole and JBL show, I feel like that would make a lot more sense. But if that's not just a reference to that, and that's just a reference to, you know,
the D, then whoa.
You should know what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying.
The more one-liners I hear him make and some of the stupid shit comes out of his mouth, I'm buying into the fact that he's cranky Vince.
What was your joke from earlier, Drew, that when Renee Young got dispatched, that she was dispatched?
Yes.
So there you go.
Oh, goodness. We had a matchup tonight between our new Intercontinental Champion, The Miz, against the man who almost won the Battle Royal last night, Dolph Ziggler. I think Dolph Ziggler surprising a lot of people with his performance, not just in the ring, but with how much he was over with that crowd and how much they wanted him to win that match. We talked a lot about how there was that big four that everyone thought was going to win that match, and Dolph Ziggler was not a part of that. I mean, he was someone we mentioned in the conversation, but after that performance last night, you almost feel dumb for not having thought Dolph Ziggler was going to win. I mean, you feel even dumber if you dropped him from your fantasy league team.
Mango, because I have him now. That's why it's funny.
Yeah, who has the championship right now?
I guess he's gonna lose it because Miz sucks. Oh, but whoa. First off, guess who has the power to get rid of the Miz or AJ Lee? Just keep that in mind. Better not fuck with me, kid.
Well, these two had a competitive matchup, went through a commercial break, gave him a lot of time, and eventually getting chants of This Is Awesome. When was the last time The Miz got a This Is Awesome chant?
I don't know.
Tremendous performance by both of these. I think impressing a lot of people when both of them really needed to do it. Dolph Ziggler more so the people in the back, and The Miz more so the crowd. They loved it. Ziggler gets the one with the zigzag, making him an easy first contender for The Miz to battle, most likely his opponent going into SummerSlam. So what'd you guys think about this, and are you excited for the Dolph Ziggler-Miz Intercontinental title match, or do you think someone else is more deserving of that spot? Wago, why don't you start us off?
Hats off to these two guys having a great match. As much as Miz gets a lot of slack off the fans for not being a great wrestler, I have to disagree. He can deliver. So great outing by those two. I'm glad that Dolph's finally having some success. He's between Layla and Summer Rae and his interactions with them and coming out strong in the Battle Royal, it's like WWE's finally has some favor with him again, so maybe he's out of any doghouse that he was in. I'm perfectly fine with this, and if The Miz is going to promote the Marine Four, it makes sense to put the title on him for now.
Drew?
Because, you know, the first three, the Marines were, oh my god, blockbuster hits. But seriously, I really did enjoy this match. I think that maybe WWE just can't really ignore the whole how everyone loves Ziggler for some reason thing now, because a lot of it doesn't matter. No matter what match Ziggler's in, he usually gets a very good reaction, which I think is a good thing. And when it comes to the whole Miz can't wrestle, I've always liked The Miz. I always thought he could wrestle, but I think he's one of those guys where if you put him with someone who's just okay, it's not going to be that good. But you put him in the ring with someone that, you know, knows a lot more about wrestling and can do a lot more, I think that's when The Miz can really shine. And also towards the end of this match especially, there was a lot of counters, you know, roll-ups. That figure four, Ziggler sold that like a champ, even though that apparently the figure four just – The Miz just fucking sucks at it now. Who knows? But, yeah, I really, really enjoyed this match. I don't know if it deserved the This Is Awesome champ, but I think, like, everyone's kind of like, oh, shit, The Miz is having a good match for once. What? So, yeah, I think that's where it was coming from.
Awesome Piano Man in the chat room saying, personally, I really think Miz is Blossom, but tonight he gained some respect for me for that match with Dolph. Yeah, Miz getting people to come around. Shout-outs to both of them, of course. Don't want to just highlight The Miz. Both these guys doing a great job tonight. Tony, what do you think about the performance from these two men tonight?
I've always liked both of them. And if you guys remember at the beginning of the Fantasy League, I had both of them on my team. But in retrospect, it was mostly from me being kind of blind and just picking some of my favorites. But yeah. I think that Ziggler is one of the best people that they have in the ring right now, and that he's consistently been one of the best. That doesn't get as much credit as he deserves. And The Miz doesn't get as much credit either. He's not, you know, an HBK where he can go out with a paper bag and put on a 5-star show. But he is a lot better than people are willing to admit. A lot of them still give him a flack for the whole reality show thing, which to me, it's like that was, what, 20 years ago or something? I think that you can get over it by now.
I think that was before Cena was even a big player in WWE. That was a long time ago.
At least 10 years ago it had to have been. So,
yeah.
You know, eventually you got to get over that because a lot of people have done things outside of WWE. And a lot of people have done things before they got into WWE that aren't exactly, you know, the most manly thing or the most athletic thing or whatever. I mean, we had entire characters built on the idea that these people were supposed to be garbage men and stuff, and nobody went nuts over that. So Miz is a lot better. I mean, I think that he is going to be a great Intercontinental Champion. I'm really hoping that not only does the Miz carry on this Sheamus feud, but in the process he wins the U.S. title and unifies that. And I'd love to see them to put this Ziggler thing on the back burner a little bit, and for eventually Ziggler to win that Intercontinental Championship when it's been unified. Because these two could have a really good match down the line, and I could see them wrestle a bunch of different times, and I'd be happy with it.
You know, I got a couple things I want to mention. I feel like with The Miz, I think a lot of people just give him flack for crap. I feel like it was that face turn they kind of tried to do with him. I think that might have hurt him a little bit because he was really, really not
that.
Yeah, he was that blue.
That's not what hurt him. As soon as they took the belt off him after WrestleMania, yeah. One, people are mad at him because he had a shitty Mania match.
Yeah.
And
was
two,
was that on the pre-show though?
No, when you're asking when he went downhill. I'm talking about back when he was the champion of Mania. That's when he went down. As soon as they took the belt off him, they didn't do anything with him, and he just fell off the face of the planet.
That was my first thing. My second thing is that he stole Bray Wyatt's pants, and he should have wrestled in them. I'm just saying, I think The Miz would look a lot better in white pants and black trunks. Just saying.
Well, apparently Vince likes Miz's legs, so that ain't happening.
You know, he should no. You know how they always like mention like, oh, he's wearing the shades inside because he's so Hollywood. You know what? He should just wear the shades just while he wrestles, because fuck, why not?
Yeah, just get glass in his eye. No big deal.
Yeah, you know. Hey, I mean, shit. The Sin Cara wore a mask where he couldn't see out of, so why can't The Miz just fucking?
Yeah, and you saw how well that fucking worked out.
Never mind.
Why don't we compromise? He can wear Adam Bomb's old goggles.
Yeah, all right. Well, we had a Divas tag match featuring the Frenemies, Paige and AJ, against Emma and Natalya, the two women who have been spending all their time in NXT, and you had no idea where they were in WWE TV. AJ gets the victory with the Black Widow on Natalya. Immediately after the match, Paige gives AJ a hug, and while AJ walks away, Paige grabs her by the hair, yanking her down onto the ring, beating her up all through the outside ring area, eventually launching her over the announce table, kept screaming at her, "This is my house! This is my house!" I guess it's Paige's house. Continues the feud between these two, which I am absolutely glad to see. I'm glad they pulled the trigger on this Paige heel turn. I was kind of thinking they were going to be holding us off a little bit longer and just letting this frenemy thing build itself, but I'm fine with it. Paige looked great tonight. AJ got her ass kicked excellently. This is probably the best Divas beatdown we've seen in ages. And, yeah, the only other comment I got to say is it's too bad that when AJ Lee is trying to lay there and look all hurt, the only thing you see in the camera is Jerry Lawler's bagel sticking out from the desk. Damn that bagel. But, Drew, why don't you start us off in this one?
Unmute your microphone, Drew.
Drew? All right, Wago.
I was a fan of the turn. Other than the screaming, I think she's got to stop that shit. I don't find it a good quality to her character, baby face or heel. It's just, it's not even like obnoxious in a heat gaining type of way. It's just obnoxious in a, wow, that's kind of embarrassing type of way. But hats off on the solid beat down. When she threw her over the table, that looked awesome. And hopefully their next match is a bit better than the one they had at Battleground. It was a solid match, but a few blown spots, and it was kind of sloppy.
Tony?
How funny would it have been if the cops came back out and got Emma during this match? That's the only thing I was really looking forward to. I saw the Paige thing coming. I thought they were actually going to do it last night. I was surprised that they didn't. So it was just a matter of time before she turned heel. I totally agree with Wago. She's got to shut the fuck up with that screaming. And that's a note for pretty much everybody in general. You know, we give the Divas a lot of flack with that whole come on thing that a lot of them do. But Jericho has to stop doing that too with that come on, baby thing and shit. Like, a lot of them that do that, they just try to get the crowd going like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but Jericho invented that.
I don't care. If he invented it, then he can kill it. That's the rule. The Page beatdown, though, you know, you have to do that every once in a while, so that's fine. It doesn't really matter. It's not going to make me any more interested to see the feud. I'm more interested in the stuff that they had already done with the, you know, the bitchy back and forth fake friendship thing. That's over with, so now it's just going to be a generic feud, and that's a little bit disappointing because we're just going to get another rematch at SummerSlam, and what's the point?
Well, now Paige is going to have this mean streak in her.
Yeah. Not going to get my money.
Well, it's not like they're going to get your money anyway.
They're not going to get me wishing I had paid any money over at Days of Sales.
Awesome Piano Man in the chat room saying the Paige scream is greater than the Emma dance. Come on, you got to at least give her that one.
Yeah, but the Brock Lesnar scream is the best scream of all.
Okay.
Paige did a little bit of the Emma dance tonight, so she could just combine it all together and fuck off and stop doing it.
Did Drew come back, or did he crash, or what's going on over there?
Hey, Moo White, where are you?
Is he on the call with you guys? Can you see him?
Oh, no, we can't. Guess we lost his great insight.
Well, I think this might be him calling in, but just in case, let me introduce him. We got a caller from the 765. Caller from 765, you're live on Mega Powers Radio. What's your name and where are you calling from?
It's a cat.
What happened, man? Your douche power?
My internet just fucking shot. Like, I still don't have any, so I was like, you know, make way go. I'd feel a lot better if I just gave my great insight. Be a phone. His satellite episode. So here we are, everyone.
All right. Well, let's get your insight on this Divas match where we saw Paige turn against AJ. What'd you think about it?
I ain't got no time for no Divas match. I don't like to about Hey. Fucked up. Seriously. This post show has gone downhill extremely quickly. Not my fault. It's your fault. But seriously, it's like this. The post match. The post-match is what everyone's talking about. What everyone's talking about is Paige. Paige, who is apparently a whore now. Who'd have thought? Her screaming, oh, geez. Sounds like she's just climaxing to the max. But seriously, the point is that apparently it's a face and Paige is a heel. Who would have thought? Boom, bop, boom, boop, bop, pow.
All right. We had a matchup.
Oh, damn.
What? What did we know?
Never mind.
Drew? No, what did we know?
Oh, you didn't know?
Did you know for the week? Because I knew the did you know for the week.
We had a matchup between Fandango and Zack Ryder? Yeah, Zack Ryder made an appearance on Raw, came out with Summer Rae and Layla, who, by the way, have come up with their official team name. They are now called Slayers. Slayers. Like Summer Rae and Layler. They're Slayers.
Fuck out.
Zack Ryder gets the surprising victory in this match with some help from Layla, knocking Fandango's leg off the top rope. Fandango was screwed. How can people cheer for Zack Ryder? This was a complete heel move. Zack Ryder, you should be ashamed of yourself, and this is why you're not on Raw every week. But just my thoughts about that. Drew, what'd you think about that?
All I care about that Layla, ooh, she was looking fine out there today. Her chubby legs, they always get me. Manga set him up to fail, her up to fail in that tournament. Fucking fuck.
What, did you feed her to AJ or something?
He fed her to AJ, we all know it.
Sure,
fucking John, you're
you sure you didn't feed AJ to Layla with those chubby legs?
Wago, you got any congratulations for Zack Ryder here?
Zack Ryder, get some tights that fucking fit. It looks odd. His fucking body shape's gone weird as hell. He's bulked up and now it just looks really fucking awkward.
You should get the pants again. Preferably with both legs.
I don't know, just like one-legged thing.
Okay, why not?
That one-legged toe was awesome.
What was it? It looks so fucking stupid.
Exactly, it was different. I fucking loved it.
You got one more vote for the one-legged attire from me. I thought that it was so stupid that it was great.
Fuck, get a third leg.
Just have it dangling. Did he steal Fandango's facial hair, by the way?
Possible.
Oh, goodness. Tony, you got any thoughts to add to the segment?
I don't know. I mean, this thing's kind of fun now that they're doing this thing with Layla and Summer Rae popping up with other people, but it's growing thin very fast. And
it seems like they can't make up their mind who they want Fandango to face. Like, it's Dolph Ziggler, and then it's Adam Rose, now it's Zack Ryder.
I think they just haven't quite figured out how they want to end it, so there is no, like, actual thing for Fandango to do. Like, if he could fight Layla and Summer Rae, they would do it, but, you know, they're going to have a bunch of people that are pissed off at them for that. And, hell, that might even end up happening. You might end up having that kind of a match and really make Fandango look stupid by him, you know, losing to the two of them that only really dance for the most part. But this has some potential to be more entertaining still, but the pessimist in me, and to be fair, the realist in me, knows that this is done. Next week is really going to be stretching it even more. And if he's facing, I don't know, Heath Slater with the rock band thing, and the two of them are like groupies, or they're hanging around with Bo Dallas and they're believers, or they're hanging around with Xavier Woods and doing God knows what, it's not going to be that entertaining. So
they're,
I don't know.
They're going to be disgracing their dads is what they're going to be doing.
With what?
Nothing.
Something went awesome piano man going on here, but
awesome piano man saying, "Wow, Tony Mango pays attention to Fandango's facial hair." Just
yep.
Calling you out on it.
He's a big connoisseur of hair. He's got a fucking tub full of hair gel, apparently.
If somebody's putting hair gel on their face, then that's fucked up.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it didn't go out. The joke go over your head. Maybe it just got stuck in your fucking hair.
It didn't quite make it all the way over the head.
10 points, good save.
We had Flo Rida as our special guest for the evening. Seemed like Heath Slater was finally going to try to get his revenge. However, nope, he looks like a putz once again, being pushed back into some equipment in the back. Poor Heath Slater, after finally looking like he's going to get some steam last night in the Battle Royal, once again to being a jabroni. But hey, at least he was on TV and he was sticking up for himself, so maybe there is hope. Just baby steps. We shall see. We had Flo Rida coming out for a medley. I couldn't tell you a damn thing about any of the songs he performed. I tried not to pay attention to it as much as I can. The only thing I actually was paying attention to is I wanted to see how the crowd was reacting. And the answer to that is not much. The crowd was not reacting at all. I actually could not wait until the end because I wanted to hear the dead silence. But damn him, he used pyro, and that will get people to cheer. So smart on him, but what a waste of a goddamn segment. Thank goodness they followed it up with that Stephanie McMahon arrest, but this Flo Rida performance was dumb enough to have at WrestleMania. Why waste it again on Raw, especially when he's going to play the same damn song?
Wait, even the same songs? I didn't watch it because I figured he would. Please tell me he didn't play the same song. Just tell me you're fucking with me right now.
No, they played the exact same song from, I don't know if both of them were the same songs, but definitely the one that was like the theme for that WrestleMania they had, he sang that one.
Oh, God. Did you know Flo Rida? It's spelled, if you made it one word, it's spelled Florida.
Oh, an awesome piano man putting out another thing that pissed me off was Flo Rida and his singer were singing along with their own vocal track. That was fucking dumb.
Maybe that guy in the background was too, with that like little thing that he would pop up with every once in a while, like, oh, stand up, or whatever the fuck he had said.
You guys got anything you want to add about Flo Rida's performance? I don't think we need to do the full round here.
Well, sometimes I change the channel.
I was disappointed with the Heath Slater segment because after he came so close to winning the Battle Royal, he had some promo that he cut and was like, oh wow, they're actually going to get behind Heath. And it's gone.
How great would it have been if you just beat Flo Rida's ass?
like Flo Rida shoved him and then he just got kicked the fuck out of him.
They're like, he's going to do a special concert. And Heath Slater's like, yo, Flo Rida, I fucking remember what you did. And just brings out a chair and just beats the living shit out of him. No more fucking concerts. Instant baby face. And be like, all right, I'm drafting Heath Slater to my team.
Actually, I'd put out a tweet saying, how awesome would it be if Brock Lesnar just appeared during the concert in F5 Florida through the fucking DJ table? It'd been fantastic.
We can do both.
Heath Slater can beat the shit out of him. Let's just have all the wrestlers come out. Give him an F5.
Yeah,
let's have every wrestler in the back come out and gang bang him.
And if he has to leave on a stretcher, have Brock do what he did to Rey Mysterio and just baseball bat him off the fucking ring post or something.
Oh, that was so awesome.
Wasn't that Big Show?
Yeah, whatever. It was some big dude and Rey dying.
That's why we hadn't said Rey in a while.
It was probably Big Show's gun. I don't know.
We had a tag match between Rybacksel and Kofi. Ryback getting the pin on Kofi Kingston after rolling through a crossbody. This prompts Xavier Woods to poof out of thin air, I guess, because I didn't see him fucking walk down to the ring. Just appears out of nowhere in this like Malcolm X attire, basically saying that it's no longer time for them to ask. It's time that they take. And Big E and Kofi just give this like little nod to him, like, yeah, fuck shit up. Yeah. essentially what we're looking at here is another African-American rights group. Gonna be careful how I address this one. Drew?
Careful how I address this one and you give it to Drew?
The guy who says if it ain't white, it ain't right?
So, Big E, they're both black. That's not racist, right? But really, I didn't watch this because you told me not to, so... It was a match. I wasn't paying attention until you said my name, so I had no clue what the joke was going into it. I'm a little embarrassed. I'm going to go back to waiting. So, it was a match.
Wago.
So, angry black guys forcefully wanting to take things. Stereotypes. How we love you. But if it gets these guys doing something, I'm all for it. Xavier Woods in this role will be interesting. I never pictured him being able to do much as a heel, so I'll give it a chance and see what happens. But as long as Big E's not allowed to talk.
Tony, what do you got to say about it?
I got actually three things I want to mention here. One is a quick reference, Austin Piano Man throwing out the reference of Professor Xavier. I didn't catch that. That might be actually one of the reasons why he's doing this, because he has said before that he's a big fan of comic books and everything. And actually on WWE Inbox 2 or 3 weeks ago, can't remember for sure, Xavier Woods was answering one of the questions and they were saying, like, who do you hang out with or something? And he said Big E and Kofi are two of his best friends in WWE. He and they all share a lot of the same things they like video games and different like TV shows and comic books and stuff like that. So when Big E and Kofi started to kind of team up a little bit, I was just thinking to myself, man, Xavier Woods is not doing anything and he's probably not going anywhere for a while. Why not just team him up and do another stable? So tonight I was really glad to see that. But I also have to mention two other things here. One of them is they didn't specifically say anything that this has to deal with the fact that they're African-American. They just said you can't do everything. You can't get far by doing what you're told.
Okay. You know what? We could play devil's advocate with that in the Brock Lesnar, John Cena poster. Let's not play games. We know what's going on here.
But you don't know for sure, though. That's the thing. That's going to be something that they could play with for a little bit. And remember, the Nation of Domination didn't start out as much like that as they eventually did get to. I mean, it started out as like the Republic of Islam or something weird for a little bit. So it could go down that route, and I could see them going down that route faster than they might necessarily have done in the past, but they still could kind of lean more towards the opposite way. And if they do end up making this about like a whole black, white, whatever race kind of a thing, that brings up one other thing, and I hate to mention it, but there's been a lot of things on Dirt Sheets that have said the reason why Layla and Summer Rae got together is because the beautiful people in TNA got back together. And what little I have paid attention to in TNA has been a big thing going on with MVP, Kenny King, and Bobby Lashley. So I don't know if somebody in WWE Creative is necessarily paying attention to TNA and trying to rip off of a couple of things that are interesting there, but that's a possibility. And maybe they saw that and they went, look, these guys aren't doing anything. Let's just have them do something similar and fuck you, TNA, or kind of a thing. But I think that this is awesome. I think that these guys could end up leading to possibly be the ones that defeat the Usos for the tag team championship. And I'm really going to be paying a lot of attention to them, the three of them. I'm 100% in for it.
Awesome Piano Man saying, OMG, Xavier, Biggie, and Kofi are all going to be Power Rangers, or maybe Planeteers. They can call upon Captain Mark Henry with their power rings.
So wait. I have one question, because like I said, I wasn't paying attention, just making sure. Mm-hmm. So they turn heel?
Yes, they're all black. Yes.
They're black? Did they turn heel?
I mean, they weren't smiling, so I don't know if they were heel or if they were just being black.
They kind of hinted at a heel.
Don't smile unless you have chicken, watermelon. Shit, that's kind of really weird, really quick. Whew. That was awkward. Anyways, let's make this a little less awkward. Peyton, take it away.
Tony, what were you starting to say?
They hinted at a heel turn, but they didn't quite pull it off tonight. We're going to have to see a little bit of a transition, kind of like what we did with Paige. Paige was sort of a heel when she lost the title, but it took her, 4 weeks or so before she did what she did tonight. So maybe on SmackDown they'll do something. Maybe on Main Event they will. Maybe they'll wait until next week's Raw. But they did face a couple of heels tonight, so that's not quite the same as if they had gone out and faced two other, like the Usos or something like that. So more than likely next week they're going to be full-blown heel and they're going to be attacking somebody and deal with that. But, you know, we've seen
Stranger Things happen. You know what the problem is going to be if they're heel?
What's that?
It's going to only end one way.
Whites win! Whites win! Red Boy, love everybody! Whites won again!
Why did I throw my mind on there?
Big joke.
We had another race-filled matchup with Rusev taking on the Great Khali. Rusev, as we were talking about before, under a lot of scrutiny based on the comments that Lana made during their pre-match promo alluding to the Malaysian Airlines flight. Didn't seem like they pulled back anything tonight. They still put Putin up on the screen. They were called out by the Great Khali, which kind of annoys me. Why wasn't Zeb Coulter or Jack Swagger there? I mean, I can understand maybe Jack Swagger selling the injury, but Zeb still could have made some kind of call out. I don't know. I did not need to see Rusev and Khali, though. I was actually impressed, I have to say, that Khali was able to get himself flexible enough to take that accolade like he did. I did not think his spine still bent like that. But Rusev gets the victory. Rusev gets the victory with the accolade. And I think another note I have to put out here, Rusev has been selling that ankle injury. I don't know if it's legit or if he's actually just doing a halfway decent job selling it, because it's the first time we've really seen him do anything like that. So that was neat. Props to Rusev for that, and that one little bit of props for Khali, but otherwise, blah segment. Tony, what do you got to say about it?
Blah indeed. Khali sucks. I still don't like Rusev. I'm disappointed that Rusev still won last night, even though I will give them credit that he didn't win in a particularly decisive way. But I wanted to see Swagger out here tonight. I wanted to see him get a little bit of vengeance. So this whole segment was a letdown.
Wago?
Yep, very blah. But as much as he sold the ankle injury, I actually wanted him to sell it a lot more. You know, when he's doing his whole little entrance thing? I think maybe if he did it and kind of fumbled or limped a bit when he did the jump to his feet, it would have been more realistic. But, can't have it all.
I just want to point out, after he won that match last night and he first started selling it, where he, had his ankles crossed while he was standing up and raising his arms, that looked really bad. It looked really, really bad. He looked like a ballerina or something.
Rusev smash. Drew. Rusev twirl.
Yes?
Rusev pirouette. Drew, finishes up on this one.
Did you know that it was a match?
For fuck's sake.
All right. Well, we had Goldust and Stardust with another backstage segment. You've seen one, you've seen all these. These are just kind of running all together. Stardust had some kind of weird, I don't want to call it an orb, but some kind of figurine in his hand that's supposed to represent the universe. I don't know where they're going with this. They talked about looking for a cosmic key, which I can only assume is the tag titles. I don't know. I want to see these guys wrestle again, though. These backstage segments are not enough for me. But Wago, is this enough for you?
Not at all. I like their segments, but I don't like that they don't have any direction, so it's hard for me to invest in them.
Drew?
I don't give a fuck. I have no fucks to give.
No fucks to give. Tony, I know you've been the biggest criticizer of this.
Yep, I have. And I'm going to continue to be, because this is still not doing it for me. They need to wrestle. They need to have more oomph behind them. I'm really tired of their backstage skits, because it's the same thing each time. It's Cody starts talking about something that deals with stars, which I get it. And he's interrupted by Goldust, who kind of acts like he's excited but doesn't quite know what he's talking about. Then one of them tries to bite the other one or eat whatever they are holding in their hand or something like that. Goldust says Goldust, and then Cody goes, "I give a fucking idiot," and holds his hands up, and it's the end of it. And
now, what you just said, try explaining that to a non-wrestling fan.
Yeah, that's one of the downsides to it, because you'd be like, oh, well, no, see, this is because the one guy, he was, like, sort of gay, but he was, like, a filmmaker, and he is the son of a guy who dresses in polka dots, and no, he's just, like, a son of a plumber and stuff, but this other guy, he had this mask on because he used to be beautiful, but now he's a star. And like,
he had a mustache for a little bit, but then he shaves it off. And...
yeah. So basically, what they're talking about here, guys, is they want to be tag team champions, even though they don't wrestle at all. And the other guy carries around those little star things in his fist all the time because he needs to blow them at the camera. And I'm not liking it. They need to do a lot more here, and not a lot more of what they've been doing. They need to do a lot more of something else.
Are they just delaying it until the right time? Maybe they just had so many other things they're doing with tag teams, they haven't had the time to do what they want to do with them?
I think that's it.
They don't have a heel tag team for them to face. It's why the Wyatt family should have won the titles, but meh.
I think when we see whatever happens with this stable that they've got going on now with Xavier Woods, I think they can be the next champions pretty quickly, since they're already like established stars. I mean, Xavier Woods is probably going to be the mouthpiece of him rather than the wrestler. So Kofi's won numerous championships. He's been in a lot of tag teams before. Big E has been in, what, two tag teams now, I think, with Ziggler and
Henry.
And Henry, yeah. And even though they didn't necessarily get any championships or even title shots that I can remember, they're WrestleMania.
Ziggler and Big E, yeah, WrestleMania, titles at WrestleMania.
They never won the championship like Kofi had
in
done.
In his debut, I'm pretty sure that was.
That's kind of true. They never won any championships like Kofi has, but he has won the Intercontinental Championship before, and he's established enough that the two of those can win the tag team titles out of the blue, maybe even at SummerSlam, and then we can move on to Stardust and Goldust, whatever the fuck they're going to call them.
So you mean it's going to be Blacks versus Golds?
Maybe. Black and gold. Black and gold.
We had one final segment to talk about here, and it was a match between Dean Ambrose and Cesaro. Cesaro going into Triple H's office, telling him that he's no longer a Paul Heyman guy and that he wants to be Triple H's guy. So Triple H tasks him with going out to end the problem of Dean Ambrose. However, he's a bit unsuccessful. They have a pretty decent match that goes a good length, but we don't get an official ending to it when the loose cannon, Dean Ambrose, goes out, grabs a chair, strikes Cesaro with it for the disqualification and chasing Cesaro off. And all we really made out of this is that Dean Ambrose looks like a little bit crazier of a person and that Cesaro doesn't look like he has anything happening for himself in the immediate future, which is just goddamn shameful. Get your guys' thoughts with that. Drew?
That's goddamn shameful. I feel bad for Cesaro. I've always thought that the pairing of him and Paul Heyman was weird. His theme song really didn't help out because his theme song wasn't really that good. Yeah, so I don't know. Cesaro is. I don't want to say he's back in that spot that maybe he was when before Zeb Coulter picked him up, but he's not in a really good spot. Like, I just don't know what he's gonna do because he's not. He doesn't really talk well on the mic. He has good in-ring stuff, and, you know, he doesn't do the spin anymore, and I think that's what people like the most. Did he do the spin tonight?
No.
See, I can't remember the last time he did a spin. It's been a while. I don't know. He just doesn't have that that heat that he had going with him when he won the Battle Royal back at Mania. I don't know what they're going to do to him. Maybe they should have put the title on him. It's going to be interesting maybe what they see with him going into Mania as well. Or not Mania, SummerSlam, I don't know. But, yeah, Dean Ambrose, you know, apparently fuck winning, you know. Let's just beat people up with chairs because fuck it, right? Why not?
Wayo?
As far as this whole match goes, I totally forgot everything that happened in it. So that's not good. But awesome that Dean Ambrose is keeping up the loose cannon gimmick. I would have liked some more interaction between him and Seth Rollins. And as far as Cesaro's character goes, I think the whole point of him splitting from Heyman is they realize they goofed. I think they may have had plans for him versus Brock a long time ago, but they've since gone out the window. They dropped the ball. They should have you need to strike when the iron's hot. He was very over at a point, and he needed to give Jack Swagger the big swing at WrestleMania, and that was his face turn, and he could have gone from there.
Yeah, absolutely right. They just tried to ride that out, and Paul Heyman, as far as I can tell, is just poison if you're a mid-card guy and he starts representing you, because he's not done well for any of those mid-carders he's taken on. Brock Lesnar, you know, great. CM Punk even was great with him. But Ryback, Curtis Axel, and now poor Cesaro. Got a long road back to where he was just a few short months ago. But Tony, round us out on this topic.
I agree with pretty much what everybody else had said. Cesaro's in a bad spot right now, and it's a shame because he does deserve a little bit better. But it's also kind of up to him to figure out a way to get around it, too. And, you know, some people talk about, like, Dolph Ziggler isn't as high up as he used to be. But he's still getting a pretty damn good reaction from this crowd just from being entertaining in the ring. Cesaro is falling by the wayside, and he's not getting that reaction from the crowd. So that's going to be something on him now that he doesn't have Paul Heyman holding him back or helping him, for that matter. And it'll be interesting to see what happens for the next few weeks or so. But Dean Ambrose is doing great. His stuff is awesome. I'm a little bit disappointed that he lost just because I lose points in the fantasy league. And I was also kind of disappointed that they did drop the thing with Brock Lesnar and the potential thing with Paul Heyman, because part of me, even though I didn't expect it to happen, was kind of hoping that since they did this at the end of the night, that Brock Lesnar would have come out and attacked Cesaro, maybe put him on the shelf for a month or something like that. And it could have been Paul Heyman going, "Hey, fuck you. You don't quit on me. I fire you." And so that's why Brock Lesnar's out here, because Lesnar will get the job done. You won't, you motherfucker. And then Cesaro could have came back, done the whole Brock Lesnar feud, whatever the case may be. But this segment, I mean, the match was okay. It did its job. It was supposed to be there for filler and just to kind of get these guys to do something. So it's also a little bit disappointing that there wasn't anything with Seth Rollins. He didn't come out and try to attack Dean Ambrose or something. And that's pretty much it. There's not a whole lot of substance to this, so yeah.
Well, that's our entire recap for tonight's Raw. Let's do our final part here with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes, this is the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll recap what our favorite part of the show was, our least favorite part of the show, and what we thought was the most embarrassing segment throughout the night. So let's take it over to our host here, Drew. Why don't you go first? What was your good, your bad, and your ugly?
Well, my good will be that my internet's working again, but seriously, my good will definitely be Ziggler versus the man. I really enjoyed it. The bad. If I had to pick a bad, I skipped all the bad parts because you told me to. But if I had to pick a bad, I'm just going to take someone else's bad. I'm going to say that Kali just, Jesus, oh God. That ugly. I forgot what we're doing for a second. The ugly would definitely had to be Titty City, Nip Slip. That's what's up. Just want to say, actually, it's probably good, but fuck, I don't have an ugly, so Titty City.
What?
Titty City, whatever he said, yeah. Waco, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good was The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. My bad was the Stardust and Goldust segment, just because it didn't contribute to anything or help with anything. And I don't have any ugly for this show.
All right. Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
I did really like the Miz and Ziggler match, and I did really like the formation of the new stable, but probably I'd have to give the edge for the good to Triple H. He had some great lines tonight, and my favorite out of all of them was, "Me and my friend Mark will stop watching." Just fucking fantastic. Great way to start off the show. And then it went downhill when Randy Orton came out, but yeah, that's besides the point. The bad, the Chris Jericho Bray Wyatt situation and his near asthma attack and his ear situation and all that. And the ugly, it's kind of a tie. One of them is the Flo Rida segment, which, if you're going to waste my time, do it on SmackDown where I'm not going to watch it. Don't do it on Raw or the pay-per-views where I actually do pay attention. And the other one that goes with the tie is that whole commercial for Royal Pains with Sheamus.
Which one? Because there's like 10 of them.
They all showed the same clip, so they were all
Hey, get out of my pool.
Hey, yes, get out of my pool, fella. We're all kick your ass.
I don't really fit into what's happening right now. Kick your ass.
He's the suckiest Irishman, too. He's like, he hasn't even got a good accent.
He's got a white guy. He's a black guy accent when it comes to Irish accent.
Pretty sure that's their new nickname that they're going to go with. Instead of the Celtic Warrior, it's going to be the suckiest Irishman.
He speaks fluent Gaelic. Yeah, he sang in a Gaelic choir.
If you want to hear someone that has a real Irish accent, you go with Conor McGregor and you tank him. UFC fighter, and he's the future.
Wrong show. Anyways.
Pretty sure that Bobby Lashley is going to make some big waves.
Yeah, exactly.
Cross brand, superstar. My good, bad, and ugly. My good goes to the Stephanie McMahon arrest. That whole segment was fun and something good to shake up. Not just that feud, but the entire show. My bad goes to Flo Rida. Get off my damn TV. Nobody wants to see you unless they're just some passerbys going, shit, Flo Rida free concert? Boy, let's check that out. My ugly has got to go to Bray Wyatt's breathing problem. My gosh, should have been a fantastic sell, maybe not, but just completely took me out of anything that the guy was possibly saying. A guy who was once the best promo guy in the company, hands down, has now been reduced to nothing more than an asthmatic idiot. Now, it's a shame. Very much a shame. But that, guys, that's going to do our good, bad, and ugly. I'll pull one out of the chat room here real quick from Ferris419. The good, Xavier's outfit. It was a pretty good outfit for him for that situation. The bad, Kali, enough said. And the ugly, Flo Rida, get that shit out of here. All right, guys, let's wrap things up by giving the hosts just a little bit of time to talk about what's going on in their worlds. Drew, what's good in the Drew crew?
What's good is the Drew crew. I just want you guys to know the decision is coming back. It's not LeBron James. It is the leader of the Drew crew. As he makes the decision, it's going to alter anything. Everyone's life, Ben now forever, doesn't matter what fantasy related. So be sure to tune in to Smack Talk Wednesday or Thursday when it goes up. I don't fucking care. Anyways, Thursday, because you'll get to hear me just talk for like 2 hours and then make a decision that changes everything. It's going to be like Y2J's The Return. So, yeah, be sure, and I'll make the decision whether or not, because I usually say fuck Tony's tyke at this point. Maybe I will fuck Tony's tyke. I don't know. We haven't decided yet. You sure did.
You shouldn't be fucking tykes. I'm sure there's laws against that.
Who's we?
Everyone out there. We. The Drew crew. Maybe I'll get Patrick and Luke to show up again. Maybe they'll help me make a decision.
Maybe they can sing your decision. It'll be great.
Anyone who wants to help me make a decision, be sure to just contact me. Anyway, via Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Line, Couch, Email.
All right. Any fucking way to go. Take over, please.
Are you done, Drew?
Yeah.
Good. All right. Thank you, Mr. Payton. All right, make sure you tune into Megapowers Radio this Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Addicted to Anime as we review and take a look at Cowboy Bebop. What's meant to be a classic anime, me and Jana have not taken a liking to, and we're probably going to rip it a new one. So make sure you check that out. And also, for all your MMA needs, check out UDMMA. You can go to udmma.com, facebook.com/udmma. And twitter.com/UDMMA.
Did somebody say cow?
Wait, Tony, you ruined this out. Fucking show. You already said you didn't like it. So there you go. You don't need to tune in. You already know he hates it. See the end.
Tony.
All right, guys. SmartGalMoment.com. Check that out for everything wrestling related that I've written and the other people that are on the site have written. You can listen to the podcast Smack Talk on youtube.com/SmartGalMoment. Or on iTunes or on Stitcher. Also, mark your calendars for the new live edition of Smack Talk, which is going to be coming Saturday, August 9th, 8 p.m. on megapowersradio.com. You will be able to call into the show and have a whole lot of fun that day as well. Bleacher Report, you can find some more stuff I've written there. And for everything else under a mango tree, such as fanboysanonymous.com, you can find that on Facebook and twitter.com/TonyMango or /amangotree.
All right, folks, we hope you enjoyed this show. And if you did, be sure to join us live every single Monday night following the conclusion of WWE's Monday Night Raw right here on megapowersradio.com for the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We have the chat room running all the time. We got the phone lines open for you to call and give your opinions. We love what hearing what you got to say. But if for any reason you cannot join us on Monday night, we can still listen to the show anytime through the week on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, and, of course, smarkoutmoment.com. The show be available on demand for you to listen to anytime, anywhere. Also, be sure to join our official Facebook group. It's facebook.com/groups/themegamaniacs. I dropped a link inside the chat room and it'll be in the show notes. Be sure to get in there where you can chat to us all throughout the week, not just on Monday nights, not just on the live Smack Talks, not just in the mailbags. Drop a question to us anytime about whatever the heck you want to talk about, preferably wrestling, but hey, if you got something else going there, feel free to drop it in. We'll see if we feel like responding. And with that, folks, we'll see you next time here on Mega Powers Radio. I'm Mike Payton for Tony Mango, for Drew White, and for Steven Wager. We'll see you next time on the Raw Post Show.